Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Modern Week Radio. I'm your host, Kevin J. Rogers, Director of Policy Research and National Vice Chair of the Modern Week Party of America. Our guest today is Aaron Hamlin, Executive Director of the Center for Election Science. Mr. Hamlin graduated from Northern Kentucky University with a Bachelor of Science in Psychology and a minor in Mathematics. He went on to receive his Juris Doctor from the Thomas M. Cooley Law School in Michigan, and he holds graduate degrees from Indiana University and Miami University, where he focused on statistics and research. He is a licensed attorney. Mr. Hamlin is a frequent speaker at conferences around the country and has been a consultant on voting procedures for both organizations and publicly elected officials in several states. He has also offered his expert opinion and analysis in articles published in Deadspin, Democracy Chronicles, and Independent Voter Network. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Yep. Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Aaron, the Center for Election Science promotes the use of approval voting. Perhaps you could take a minute and explain to our listeners how it works and how it differs from the way we conduct elections now.
Sure. So approval voting is a single winner voting method. So typically when you go to vote, you have a slate of candidates in front of you, and the instructions tell you to choose only one candidate, and then they count up all the selections of the candidates, and the candidate selected the most wins. With approval voting, there's no limiting instruction, so there's nothing that says you can only choose one. With approval voting, you can choose as many candidates as you want, and the candidate chosen the most wins. So the only difference is that with approval voting, you can choose as many candidates as you want, and you still only have one winner.
So really, it's a simple change of one word on the ballot, isn't it? Instead of choose one candidate you support, you can choose any candidate you support.
Yeah, so you can imagine it as the difference between choose one and choose one or more.
Choose one or more. So in essence, it doesn't really take votes away from anybody. It just adds to the vote totals of other candidates. Is that correct?
Yeah. So initially, when you're looking at a ballot, I mean, you have probably opinions about all the candidates, and so it really is frustrating for a voter to be so limited in only saying something about one candidate. So with approval voting, you're not limited. You can have a say about all the candidates. If you like one of the front runners within the major parties, you can choose them. If you like one of the independents too, you can choose them. One of the other third parties, you can choose them. You're not restricted in the same way as you are with plurality voting or choose one method.
And so is it fair to say that that actually gives a more accurate reflection of where the electorate really stands as far as the candidates are concerned by eliminating that least bad option?
Yeah, so if we think about voting methods as a measurement instrument and how support for candidates is measured within our current choose one method, it really does an awful job. And that's no surprise because when you're choosing only one candidate, you're providing the minimal amount of information. And it's difficult to get anywhere near an accurate reflection of support of all the candidates when you're supplying such little information to begin with. And so with approval voting, the mere fact that you're providing more information provides a much more accurate reflection of support. And in studies, we see that more accurate reflection of support is particularly the case with third-party and independent candidates because under a choose-one method where people are afraid of wasting their vote, you see an artificially low amount of support for third-party and independent candidates that turns out to be accurately reflected with approval voting when you can choose as many as you want.
I see. Now, can approval voting be applied in virtually every election, or are there some situations where it works better or worse than others?
Well, approval voting is pretty versatile. So typically, approval voting is used within the context of a single winner election. So these you would think of things like mayor, governor, typically executive offices. But although a lot of times in the U.S. we take what appear to be multi-winner seats and we turn them into single-winner offices, so approval voting would be used in those as well. So as far as multi-winner elections, it can be a little bit more complicated, which tends to be the case with any kind of multi-winner election. But you can take approval voting and sort of turn it around a bit in the way that it calculates votes and change that into a multi-winner election, even to the point where the results that you get are proportional, which gives a much more which gives a better reflection of all the participants within the electorate, so make sure that everybody gets a voice. So it is possible to adapt even approval voting within the winner, within a single winner context into a multi-winner context.
So when you talk about a multi-winner election, you're referring to something like, say, a board election, something like that, where there are several seats being filled?
Yeah. So when, as you mentioned, a board, a city council, particularly when they're using at-large seats. So a lot of times the city council, sometimes what they do is they take all their seats and they put it in the single winner districts. Those are single winner elections, and so you can just use traditional approval voting that way. But when they take it into an at-large context, and so you have a council representing an entire geographical area, everybody at once. With those, that would be under a multi-winner method. You could use approval voting in that context, but to make it a proportional method, you'd have to apply a particular algorithm to make sure that the results are proportional.
Understood. Now, what do you think is the greatest barrier to the adoption of approval voting as our standard method in the election of public officials?
Well, I think a big obstacle to alternative voting methods in general is really a lack of knowledge. So say you go out on the street today and you ask someone, well, what's a voting method? And odds are they're going to tell you, well, voting, that's when you choose a candidate and the candidate with the most votes wins. Unfortunately, that is not the definition of a voting method. That's just a particular type of voting method. So part of the obstacle that we face is that people really have a hard time seeing that there are all kinds of different voting methods, some of which are much better than others. With our choose one method that we typically use, there's an academic consensus that it's just the worst method out there. You provide hardly any information. It's vulnerable to all kinds of terrible things. So similar candidates have the vote divided between them. It creates a barrier to entry for new candidates because voters are afraid of wasting their vote. So really the biggest obstacle that we face is having people recognize that there are alternatives out there, and not only are there alternatives out there, but these alternatives make a big difference in the way that people aren't used to. So I think in some ways moving things forward with reform with voting methods, it's good to see people use alternative voting methods, particularly approval voting, in a number of contexts so that they're used to seeing it, and they see that it's beneficial, and it avoids a lot of the pitfalls that our typical choose one voting method does.
And that's essentially what the Center for Election Science is about, isn't it? You're promoting alternative voting methods that you believe are more fair and more accurately reflect the voice of the people. Is that right?
Yeah. So at the Center for Election Science, we provide a lot of educational articles. We do blog articles talking about voting methods in a variety of contexts. For instance, we've done an article for Deadspin, which is a sports magazine, a sports blog, and we talked about the Baseball Hall of Fame as far as how they elect players into the Hall of Fame. We've worked with the Webby Awards, helping them with their voting procedures. So we do the educational front, making sure that people can see electoral voting methods in a variety of contexts. But at the same time, we also push to have organizations be able to use better voting methods in practice. Obviously, we think about voting methods a lot in the context of government elections, but we also really try to convey that voting methods, we're really just talking about situations where people are making collective decisions, and collective decisions can be really important in a variety of contexts. We try to make people aware of that and sort of hold their hand in showing them how they can do it themselves and using better voting methods.
Great. Aaron, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your insights with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Kevin. It's a pleasure being here.
That was Aaron Hamlin, Executive Director of the Center for Election Science. You can learn more about the center and about approval voting on their website at www.electology.org. And look for Aaron's guest blog posts and more information on the Modern Whig Party website at www.modernwhig.org. Thank you all for listening, and we look forward to speaking with you again soon on Modern Whig Radio.